The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Predating Christianity by many centuries, the Jews, in their prayer book in Psalm 96, say, "Proclaim the good news of his salvation." For those of us who grew up being taught that Christianity kind of replaced Judaism, wrong. Wrong. We are grafted into Judaism. What is the good news? Well, I was brought up to believe the good news is my sins are forgiven and I can go to heaven. Wrong. I mean, it's not wrong my sins are forgiven. It's not wrong that I have a heavenly in-between period that awaits me. But fundamentally, the good news is God is king. That's what it says here, and that's what Jesus says. He said, "The kingdom of God is near," which means God's rule. God is coming to rule, and when God rules, all the mess of the earth is going to be taken care of. Among those things is included our personal sins. But shock alert for me and many of you, I'm not the most important person in the universe. The whole world is what matters to God. That's why we did what we did here this morning. Because our job is to be priests in the world, and you don't believe it, and I don't believe it near enough. So we watch the news and wonder what's going on and worry, but we don't spend time in prayer doing what priests are supposed to do, pleading with God. So thank you for not getting up and walking out because you didn't get to sing a song. Thank you for doing what you're supposed to do, and please continue. The word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is related to Jesus' name. Actually, that's what it would have sounded like. And it's a call for us to praise and worship. Because God is coming with salvation, which means he's going to rescue us from all the problems of the earth. It says, "As for the gods of the nations, they are Elil." Elil comes from a Hebrew root, which means nothing. And Elil literally means good for nothing. Useless, of no value. The word is translated as idol, but I think it's better to understand what it means. What it's saying is the images, the idols, the gods that are in rebellion to Yahweh. The gods not in rebellion are called angels in our language. The gods in rebellion are called demons in our language. But in the biblical text, they're called the gods. And they have the gods of, you know, sexual promiscuity, the gods of confusion, the gods of war, people who don't believe they're around. Really, there's no like powers that work among us to show us confusion and greed and lust and war. It says that the Lord made the heavens. The reason why they're meaningless and nothing is because God made heaven. This is the teaching of the Jews in Christianity. This is the Orthodox traditional faith. We say it every Sunday. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And what do you think heaven means? Heaven means a spiritual realm. And what does earth mean? It means the material realm. And what are we? We are the ladder between heaven and earth. We are filled with the divine breath. We on earth is the image of God. And news alert, I mentioned this at a funeral yesterday. We think we're supposed to say to God, well, if you're in charge, why are things so bad? I'm going to give you the answer to the question that none of you seem to know. If God is in charge, why is the world the way it is? Answer, He gave you the keys. He handed you the keys. If there's a car wreck, it's because you're driving the car. Understand? Stop being blown away by that question. Why is the world the way it is? Read the book. Pay attention. I'm so furious that we're still answering this question after 20 years of telling you. We're responsible. At the end of time, we are judged. And you live in a world and let the world say, we can judge God, and you don't say anything about it. Oh, and there's worse coming. There's worse coming. I got a lot of words here. So, Jesus comes bringing God's kingdom, and they come and they assert the other kingdom. What's the other kingdom? The kingdom of the pagan gods. Rome has names for them. Greece has names for them. The Babylonians, they all have different names for them, but they're all the same gods. They're all the same stories. All right? And they say to him, I'm going to put in contemporary language, Jesus, who's right, the Palestinians or the Jews? Jesus, I know what you're trying to do here. I know what you're trying to do here. Who's right? Should we pay taxes to Caesar? If he says no, then the Roman soldiers come and kill him. All right? So he's a dead man. If he says yes, then he's betrayed his people and they no longer listen to him. So they're saying, gotcha. And he says, well, show me the coin. And they pull the coin out, which is an abomination, has an image on it of a pagan. And Jesus says, who got who? You, they got that coin? That's blasphemy. And he said, who's, the literal word is icon. Whose icon? Whose image is on that? And they said, Caesar. He said, all right. He says, who's, what's the word? Epigraphe. Whose inscription is on there? Caesar's. All right, we'll give him what's his. Money. That belongs to him, fine. But give to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? Your mind, your heart, your soul, your body, your spirit. And every one of us in here has spent ourselves for money. And we have not given ourselves to God. Period. End of discussion. And anyone who wants to argue with me, I'm going to tell you, you're a liar and you're insane. Because the number of hours we spend to accrue wealth compared to the number of hours we spend loving and serving God is so disproportionate you can't even talk about it. And we need to admit it and we need to repent. We belong to God. That's what He wants. And you already said it. The gods I'm talking about demand our loyalty. And what are those gods? Those gods are empty nothingness that we pursue constantly and endlessly. And that's what produces the insanity of all our conflicts, including on a global scale, what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Gaza, in Israel. The stuff that's so awful that we can't watch it. Because it's little children, it's women, it's old people. And it's horrible and it's terrible. And it's the non-combatants, it's the weak, who are trampled by these servants of the Caesars of every age and the gods whom they serve. And what Paul celebrates is that we as Christians, he tells them, everybody's celebrating. This is the first letter written in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians. First writings in the New Testament. And he says, everyone is celebrating because you've turned to God from idols. You've turned to the living God. And he uses the word living God because God, Yahweh is alive. Remember, God doesn't have any images, does he? There's no idols in the Jewish faith. Well, except one, human beings. What's the difference between a human being and an idol? Everybody knows this, right? What's the difference between like a statue and a human? We're alive. Did anybody get that one right? We're alive. They're not. So that's the image of God, human beings. And he says, when you turn to them, you turn to life. The gods of this world are about death. The presidency in our country is going to be decided about whether or not you're willing to support abortion. Think about that. That's the decisive issue in our country today. If you're willing to say abortion is okay, then you can get elected. Maybe I'm stupid, but let me understand how abortion is a pro-life stance. We are driven by our politics, our economics, our greed, and our anger, and our fear. And we live in a world, and this set me off. What is a turn on and a turn off for young men and young women? So 18 to 30. I'm so old, I don't even remember 18 to 30. 60% of women in this country are turned off by the statement, all lives matter. I'm not going to scream, but I'm screaming inside. Let's go to Israel and see what happens when we don't think the words all life matters is true. The Jews say Israel's lives matter. The Palestinians say Palestinian lives matter. And the lives that don't matter can be raped and burned and decapitated and shot, and it's all justice. And what's going on there is brewing here. I'm proclaiming to all the world that God's good news is I'm the king of the world and all lives matter. And if you don't like that, then you're in rebellion against God. But all lives mean matter, all lives, including the lives of people different from us. And I get that part, and I'm fine with that. Black lives do matter. The lives of people who have bizarre and strange ideas do matter. The lives of people who are poor and needy do matter. I'm not saying they don't. What I'm saying is once we decide only certain lives matter, then the problems begin. So am I hopeless? Am I without any hope of getting out of this? No, because here's what God said. I'm the Lord, there's no other. And be clear, this is an advertising slogan. It's like when they say, if you want a beer, there's no other beer than, you know, this beer. If you want to go on vacation, there's no other place to go on vacation than right here. When God says, I am the Lord, there is no other. Beside me, there is no God. What he is saying is he is supreme and all powerful. And I go back, he is the creator of all those spiritual gods or demons or angels, whatever you want to call them. He is the creator of heaven and earth. What he is saying is, I have control, and we respond to sing to the Lord. And to show his control, and this is where the Cyrus thing comes in, he takes a guy from Persia and says, you're the Messiah. To put that in perspective, and when I wrote these words, I thought, I wonder if I'll be able to even, I'll have to change it maybe. The guy in charge of Iran, the day I wrote this, said, we're going to annihilate Israel. They've had a long-standing refusal to like Israel, right? And God says to him, you don't know me, you don't know who I am, but I know you, and I'm using you to glorify me. So right now, even as it looks terrible, maybe you're a Republican, you think Biden's the worst president in the world. God may say, that's the Messiah I'm going to use. Maybe you're a Democrat, you hate Trump, maybe he'll get reelected. God's going to say, this Trump guy, I'm going to use him. Or any of assorted other people anywhere. God can choose who he wants to accomplish his goals in spite of what we think we're doing. So, we can let the nations worship their gods. We have to worship our God with all our mind, all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. We need to use our time, talent, and treasure in service of the kingdom. And time is growing really, really, really short for the church to rise up and be the church. Amen.